As the world looked on in horror, the Israeli air and ground assault on Gaza entered its 11th day, with three Israeli artillery shells hitting a United Nations school in northern Gaza, killing at least 30 and wounding 55 Palestinians. Those killed and injured included men, women, and children who had taken refuge in and around the UN building. The Israeli military maintains that its forces had responded to mortar fire coming from the school. Israel's government, which has barred Western reporters from entering Gaza to report on the siege, states that six of its soldiers have died in Gaza since the start of the ground attack. Palestinian medical officials estimate that the death toll in Gaza had reached 560 on January 6th, since Israel launched airstrikes against the territory on December 27th. The UN says one-third of those killed are civilians. A humanitarian crisis at Gaza hospitals has been reported, where thousands of injured Palestinians sought urgent treatment from under-equipped facilities, a result of an 18-month Israeli blockade of basic provisions such as food, fuel, and medicine. Despite the relentless Israeli attack, leaders of Gaza's Islamic Hamas government have vowed to fight on, and the group continues to launch dozens of crude rockets into southern Israel. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas plans to present a resolution drafted by the Arab League to the UN Security Council, which calls on Israel to halt their offensive and for Hamas to stop firing rockets at the Jewish state. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Ali Abu Nima, author and co-founder of the Electronic Intifada News website, who describes the humanitarian crisis unfolding in Gaza and the chronology of events which led to the current conflict.
Well, the death toll is now over 540 people, and in fact, the vast majority of them are civilians, much higher than 200. At least one-third of them are women and children. Hospital sources in the Gaza Strip have said that 50% of the injured coming into the hospital are children, which makes sense, and because 50% of the population of the Gaza Strip are children, it's a very young population, so that shows the indiscriminate nature of the bombing that's going on, the number of children injured is almost exactly proportional to the number of children in the population. What Israel calls terrorists includes virtually every Palestinian male. In fact, dozens of those who were killed in the initial days of Israel's attacks were ordinary traffic policemen. Israel massacred, I think there's no other word, it bombed a graduation ceremony for traffic police officers. These were people who'd just undergone training for how to manage traffic, and Israel bombed them out of the sky. Of course, Israel has been, as we've been hearing in the media and seeing, Israel has bombed 10 mosques. It bombed the Islamic University, which has 18,000 students, 60% of them women. It bombed the Ministry of Justice, the Ministry of Education, the Palestinian Legislative Council building, which ironically houses the only democratically elected parliament in the Arab world, in addition to bombing the sewage system, water. It's just indiscriminate. You know, this 10 days of hell comes on top of months and months of a deliberate starvation siege in which Israel put the Gaza Strip on a drip feed, blocking most food and medicine from coming in, blocking people from going in and out, just really imprisoning. As a Norwegian doctor who's in Gaza said on CBS News, he said that Israel is bombing 1.5 million people in a cage. Israel's propaganda that, you know, we're doing this because Hamas fired rockets at us is about as true as the claim that we had to invade Iraq because there are weapons of mass destruction. And the mantra about rockets serves exactly the same function as the mantra about weapons of mass destruction. The reality is there had been a truce. Hamas had observed it meticulously from June 19th. Until Israel attacked the Gaza Strip on November 4th, killing six Palestinians, and that's when the truce broke down. And they were willing to renew the truce, but what they weren't willing to do is to say, look, I mean, the Israeli idea of a truce is, you know, you stay silent, you starve to death, you stay caged in the Gaza Strip, and if you stay quiet while we starve you to death, then we won't bomb you. That was the Israeli idea of a truce, and Palestinians said, you know, we're dying anyway, they're killing us anyway, so we might as well resist.
There's a lot of criticism here in the United States and Israel, of course, of Hamas's decision to launch rockets into southern Israel. But you're saying, from what I understand, that Hamas's decision to launch rockets was predicated on that may have been the only bargaining chip they had in order to negotiate a new ceasefire that would have allowed medical supplies and basic food to get in there. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. There was not one single rocket fired by Hamas from June 19th until Israel attacked the Gaza Strip on November 4th. Between June 19th and November 4th, there were a total of 26 rockets fired at the Gaza Strip, not by Hamas, by other factions which Hamas restrained. I mean, this is a very tiny number, and they caused no injuries or deaths. The only Israeli deaths, which have totaled now 3 from rocket attacks, happened since December 27th when Israel launched its attack. And I can tell you with certainty that more Israelis have died in traffic accidents since it started the attack on December 27th than from rockets.
What do you expect from Barack Obama when he takes the oath of office on January 20th? Is he going to bring any new ideas, new perspectives into solving this many decades long problem of the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians?
I wish I could say I believed that he would, but from everything I've seen, and I've studied it very carefully, I think that he is more likely to continue with the Bush administration's one-sided support for Israel than to break with that. And that's very sad, and that's very dangerous, not just for Palestinians and Israelis, but also for the United States. So I think this is the moment when he needs to hear from Americans who say, this is an area where we want real change. If we're just going to go on supporting Israeli occupation, supporting the blockade on Gaza, opposing democracy for Palestinians, then it's just going to compound the crisis and the violence. We need real change, but he needs to hear it.
That was Ali Abu Nima, co-founder of the electronic intifada.net news website and author of the book One Country, A Bold Proposal to End the Israeli-Palestinian Impasse.